Congress steps into the debate over net neutrality.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. House Republicans have tacked on an amendment to the federal spending bill. It would stop the Federal Communications Commission from enacting new rules that govern the cost of using the Internet. Marketplace's Eve Troe joins us now to explain. Hi, Eve.
Hi, Jeremy.
So net neutrality. Tell us what this is all about.
Well, net neutrality, it's one of the most complicated issues out there. Yeah. People still don't really know what it means, but I'm going to give it a shot on this little slice of it. Last year, government regulators said they want to watch internet companies to make sure that they don't favor their own content. Like, say you're a Comcast customer, Comcast shouldn't charge you more to watch other people's videos rather than Comcast-produced videos.
Okay.
So the government would need people and equipment to do that monitoring. The House amendment would block any money for them to do it.
And what are these House members that are against this saying? What is their objection?
For one, they say net neutrality would stifle innovation. If companies can't set their own prices, then they lose incentives to make their services better. I talked to Carl Howe at the Yankee Group. He says what's really at stake is the right to produce and consume content, like videos, web pages, whatever, versus the rights of internet service providers to make money. And he says the House amendment takes a very free market stance on that.
Those that own the networks get to set the rules. In many ways, the network owners become the owners of the toll booth if net neutrality is not required. And as such, they can charge whatever tolls they want.
So net neutrality, and there's that lovely phrase again.
Yep.
Net neutrality rules argue, no. All the content has to have the same opportunity to reach the customers. But without money to enforce that idea, it can't happen.
All right. Well, we'll be watching what happens in Washington in the net neutrality debate. Marketplace's Eve Troe, thanks so much.
Sure thing.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across Asia, down in Europe. Campbell Soup just reported an 8% profit drop in the last quarter. The company says Americans are buying fewer microwavable soups, but we really seem to be into canned chunky soups. Double-digit growth there. Also this morning, as President Obama continues his West Coast technology tour, he'll head to Oregon, and the White House is putting Intel CEO Paul Otellini on the president's new Jobs and Competitiveness Council. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 29 points to close at 12,318. Well, this year marks 150 years since the start of the Civil War. And as Ricky Bevington reports now from Georgia Public Broadcasting, some recession-scarred but history-filled communities are using the anniversary as a tourism opportunity.
In the small town of Milledgeville, the former state capital of Georgia, politicians debate whether to leave the United States.
Shall the people of Georgia secede from the Union in consequence of the election of Mr. Lincoln to the presidency of the United States?
This is one of many reenactments celebrating the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. In states from Maryland to Texas, museums, historical sites, not to mention hotels, restaurants, and gas stations, want to draw the business of heritage tourists.
It's a $192 billion business.
Tourism market researcher Laura Mandela says Americans who plan vacations to cultural and historic sites spend an average of $994 a trip. That's a third more than the average leisure vacationer.
I know souvenirs is the number two category of purchase. You know, shopping's number one.
Mandela says 80% of heritage tourists plan their trips online. So that's where communities with a historic past are working to get their attention. I've logged on to the website of the Georgia Historical Society, and I'm typing in the Civil War topic that I'm interested in. Sherman's March to the Sea. Up pops a map with driving directions, and it even has suggestions for hotels and restaurants.
We've made history sites into commercial sites for actually centuries now.
Yale University American History professor Dr. David Blight is an author of the upcoming Civil War website by the National Park Service. The federal government oversees 70 Civil War historic sites and battlefields, and they attract up to 12 million visitors a year. But so many tourists, Blight says, creates what he calls a dilemma between commemorating history and making money off of it.
No one can drive into Gettysburg without seeing 50 billboards on the way in.
And since maintaining historic sites isn't cheap, making the past part of a billion-dollar market may be the best way to preserve it. In Atlanta, I'm Ricky Bevington for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Reputation.com, protecting and improving your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. Reputation Defender is now Reputation.com.
The NBA All-Star Game is this weekend, but the real matchup will be off the court. We've reported on the labor talks that are going on in professional football, but as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins tells us, the negotiations going on between players and owners in pro basketball may be even more intense.
On the one side, you've got players like LeBron James. He's sitting on a $110 million contract. On the other, you've got the NBA teams, which reportedly took in around $4 billion last year. Sports economist Alan Sanderson looks at it this way.
There are two pigs, there's one trough. It's just how fast can you eat?
And the league is saying players are eating too much. The NBA says owners stand to lose $350 million this year. Owners want to cut player salaries and benefits by about a third. David Barry is an economist at Southern Utah University.
The owners have taken what I would think is a fairly radical position.
Barry blames the economic downturn for team losses. The players also question the league's accounting and aren't eager to take a pay cut.
I just find it hard to believe we're going to reach some kind of an agreement. I think they're probably going to have to stop the games.
The league's current contract with players expires at the end of June. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, of course, no one can replace Oprah, but in Chicago, two people are going to try. Local TV reporters Ryan Chiaverini and Valerie Warner are taking Oprah's time slot after the last Oprah Winfrey show airs in May. So I hope they have good taste in books. And allow me to be the first to predict the pay discrimination lawsuit when these two anchors find out they're not making as much as their predecessor. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
We're all living such increasingly digital lives. What do you suppose happens when we just pull the plug?
I have not been using the internet for email, for Facebook, for sharing photos.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, getting by getting offline. Next time on Marketplace, the rest of the day's business news as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.